Well, glad that you're with us today. We're so excited about what Jesus is doing in our lives. Amen. Do you guys have open hearts today? Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord? Ready for the freshness of today's word to be planted into our hearts and to take root and for it to grow? And when healthy plants grow, you guys know what brome grass is? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of brome grass before. It's in a lot of our fields and ditches and stuff. We have it in our trees out there. And when we planted our new CRP trees, part of the technical program or whatever is you had to do weed management. So we had the fabric down, which rips and gets weeds through it or whatever. But in between, we had to mow them. So we, for years, mowed the, I mean, when I say we, more talking about Marnie, but I did some. A little bit, once, maybe. So we had to take care of those weeds, but our program ended, and they're not coming to get the trees back. Like, you get to keep those. But now it's up to us to do whatever we want with those weeds in there. So there's still a trail that Marnie and the kids go walking on, you know, around the place. But for the rest part, I kept thinking of how excited I was going to be when we could just stop and the brome grass would go. And it would fill in, because one thing about brome grass, now, Alan, you're going to have to correct me because I'm probably wrong on pretty much every agricultural fact that I have, but from what I've seen, the brome grass is like hardy enough, it kind of chokes out, I mean, there's like burn weed you'll see once in a while, but for the most part, it chokes out a lot of these other weeds. When you got really thick brome grass, if that's not true, just say it is. Just let it be. Just hands off. We'll go with that. So it kind of chokes out the other stuff, and so that was something I wanted to take over, and it kind of did now, and it is choking out a lot of the other weeds. We don't see a lot of those icky weeds back there anymore. It's just beautiful waist high brome grass that we love, and the turkeys hide in and stick their head out. And it it's a lot like that. Yep, exactly. And so we're just praying that as we plant, there's a purpose to this idiotic conversation, yes, is that the Word of God gets planted in our heart like brome grass, and it just starts taking over, that the Word of God, I mean, isn't that a beautiful picture, that every time we're just planting the Word of God, that it just starts spreading like that brome grass and starts edging out everything else that shouldn't be in our hearts. It starts choking. You see the parable of the seed, and in the third one, the weeds and the thorns choked out the seed of the Word of God. How cool when it's the opposite. When the Word of God chokes out the seeds of the world in our heart. Raise your hand if you've ever had anything that shouldn't be in your heart. All right, a few of you. Yes, exactly. That's every single one of us. Every single day, there's stuff that's wanting to get planted in our hearts, right? Icky stuff. The Word of God comes in, and if we keep our hearts soft and receptive to the Word of God, it starts spreading, and we get to see the parable of the sower in reverse. Come on. The parable of the sower, where the seed of the Word of God is choking out the seed of the world in our hearts. Yeah. Have you ever fought through, and we're going to get to the message in a second here, I'm just telling you some God stuff before we get to my stuff. Have you ever had like something that you struggled with and you didn't know if you'd ever get through it? You know, you're like trying to get victory in the Lord, trying to walk it out. And then you get to the other side and you feel like you've kind of conquered this. And you go on for a while and it ends up being like 6 months or a year and you haven't even thought about that anymore. And like you've got total victory in that area in your life. But you're like, I just realized I haven't even thought about sinning like that or falling short or doing whatever. Like, I've got so much victory over that in my life. Like, not in an arrogant way, but just like I'm walking that out all the time. I don't even think about that anymore. And that's not it's not a trick question, but in those instances, the Word of God has choked out the seed of the world in our hearts. Does that sound like a good plan?
Yep.
Two of you. Great. The rest of you, go back and have coffee. We are, this is the first time I've ever preached through an entire book of the Bible, and it's apparently a long process, we're finding out. But one of the difficult things is Paul or Peter or whoever's writing, John, whoever's writing, they're writing one letter, right? And we're kind of dividing it up in chunks or whatever. what's kind of difficult is as you're preaching through the whole thing, you get to a section and it really ties back because it's one thought through a lot of this. I mean, there's different thoughts in it, but there's one thread that runs through the whole letter and there's different sections. And so you always have to kind of keep repeating stuff. So we're going to do that today. We're moving on, though. We're just going to read through it, but then we're going to move on to the new verses. Amen. We have new verses today, but we're going to just catch us up because it's all part of the same thought. So right before this one is where Paul was talking about, you know, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, as all this kind of stuff. And he said, but it's all rubbish or whatever. He says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. This is Philippians 3, starting in verse 10. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting is what is behind. This is what we talked about last week. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on. Say press on. Press. I press on. Well, that's really good. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward or upward or in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to go to our new verses right now. And they tie back to this whole section and even the section before that we were reading. Paul says this, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. So let's take the first section of this. All of us who are mature, say mature. Mature. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. He's saying, all right, if you guys are mature, you should look at this view. What view are we talking about? We're talking about all the stuff that we just read through. We're talking about, you know, like my progress in Christ is ultimately hinged on me knowing him and pressing forward and forgetting what is behind and the ways of my own righteousness and trying to get close to God on my own isn't worth anything and I consider it garbage. Like all of that stuff, Paul is saying if you're mature, that's the kind of view I want you to take of this. Okay? So I want to just give you some thoughts on this verse that just kind of were rattling around in my head. Can I do some thoughts? Yeah, all right. Some of you think that's okay. The rest of you, you can listen to something on your phone. Here's what I see out of this. Maturity is a qualification for some views. Let's just marinate for a second. Paul is saying, if you're mature, then you can have this kind of view. And if you're mature enough in Christ to be able to receive what I'm saying, then I want you to look at your walk with Christ in the way that I just described it. That's what Paul is telling the church here. And so I see that some of us at times have difficulty seeing what God wants us to see because of our level of maturity. Maturity is a prerequisite for some views of God. I see you're processing this, okay? Just kind of wade through this, think through it. We're actually going to come back to this one in a little bit. But just Paul is saying, if you're mature, then you're able to open your eyes to see things how I'm telling you to see them right now. What else? What else do I see in this verse here? Second thing is some people will think differently than you. Has anyone ever run into a circumstance where someone had a contrary view to yours? Everyone says. Isn't that just being human, right? You can have 10 people in the same scenario and everyone reads it 10 different ways, right? And then you come back afterwards and you talk about it, like, no, this. I think this was like, go ahead. Today, in today's divisive society, throw out an opinion about anything and you're going to get clobbered. But Paul is saying he's realizing that not everyone is just going to see it automatically like this. And he's kind of just prefacing this. I know there's going to be some different viewpoints. You want a challenge sometime? Something to challenge your faith, come up and stand here and preach stuff that you know is right from the Word of God and see your guys' faces. sometimes there's different views, right? I'm kind of being funny, but kind of not. Sometimes. And I've already wrestled through a lot of this stuff usually, so I have the advantage of kind of working through it. But Paul is saying, not everyone's just going to like be on board right away. Third thing I see out of this little section of scripture here is, trust that God will make it clear to you. I want you to see, Paul is saying, you can trust that God changes hearts and minds as we pray for others. It wasn't just like, okay, well, God's going to have to take care of that. Paul was actively giving his heart and soul for this church in Philippi. He's praying for these people. And so he's saying, you know what? God has revealed this stuff to me. And here's how you need to walk. Oh, I see that hand. You disagree with that. Well, I'm going to trust that as I pray for you, that God is going to nudge your heart and convince you that what I'm telling you is accurate. God's going to bear witness with your soul. Anyone ever had kids before? Anyone ever had a husband before? There are times you've got to trust that God is going to make the connection for people, right? You've got to trust that if God is saying it and doing it, then he'll make it happen. As we pray for people, as we contend for their souls, as we, you know, sometimes, you know, because sometimes our kids don't always listen to us, do they? Sometimes our husbands don't listen to us, do they? Right? Sometimes people that you just have the solution and you know if they would just listen, right? It doesn't always work like that. Most of the time it doesn't work like that. Was there ever any time that you had what you felt was the word of God for me and I just did not listen to that? Probably not. Probably maybe once? Okay. Okay. And we've just got to trust. What's really fun about being married to Marnie? Yes, I know. I know. Everyone in the place is a little nervous right now. We're like, pastor's conference is about to go badly for Kirk. Is that often, because Marnie, this is going to shock you. I mean, this is going to totally shock you, but Marnie's the more passive one. I'm the more aggressive one. I know, right? You guys are just blown away by that. And in the beginning, and this is, I've shared this many times, in the beginning, that was rough to adjust to for both of us. And so, more so for the one getting beat up verbally all the time, you know, not intentionally, but, you know, I've shared that before. But as we've both matured and walked with Christ and become more like Christ and learned how to function better, I've learned that I can often have an idea and often, this again, shocking, Marnie will disagree with that idea. You know, like, I don't know why she's not hearing God the right way, but she'll just not be on board with the idea. But because of how kind of, Marnie's very open-handed with her walk with God. You know, like, she's just letting God kind of, you know, so she won't really hang on to stuff a lot. And I know that, like, 3 months later, she's going to come to me with this great new idea that she had. Is that not true? And it's my idea that she disagreed with. And she's going to be so excited about it. And so right away, it used to bother me because I'm dumb. You know, I'll be like, that was the idea. You know, right, just start another fight because, you know, we're men and not that bright. Jim would be like, you got a lot to learn, kid. Right? So I finally did learn. And now I'm like, honey, that is the best idea ever. You hear God. But isn't that true? I mean, I don't think I'm letting any cats out of the bag that are, all right, still going to have a good conference. All right, thumbs up. But it gets lodged in the back of her mind, and she forgets where it came from, and all of a sudden it pops up, presents itself as a new idea, and it's not dressed in my clothes anymore, so now it sounds really good. And sometimes we've just got to trust that as we're caring about people and processing life with them and helping them, that sometimes there's only so much you can do to help someone, right? And that's what Paul is saying here. I'm going to give you the way of the Lord here. And there's going to be a few of you that are going to disagree with that. But you know what? I'm going to trust that God is going to make that clear to you. Because you love God and I love God. And I'm not going to push too much harder on that, which leads me to the fourth thing, is manipulation is no substitute for revelation. You can get good enough at getting people to do what you want them to do, and their heart is no closer to God, and wisdom is no more in their heart than it was when they started. Amen? Like, I feel like you guys get that one. Like, this is, like, there's sometimes, it's got to be the breath of the Holy Spirit to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Know when to walk and know when to run, right? Like, really, because sometimes it's just one more push would get them to actually listen. And sometimes one more push sends them, whoever it is, I mean, in a marriage, in a kids, co-worker, whatever it is, you got to really listen to the Lord saying, but I don't want to manipulate you into believing, right? I want God to reveal this to you. I want you to come to your own conclusion that this is what the Holy Spirit is sensing, because then you're owning it, right? Then it's smart to come to you like, I got an idea here. Let's do this. And I'm like, yeah, right. That's good. Man, Holy Spirit is moving. Thank you, Jesus. All glory to Jesus, yes. Right, exactly. It doesn't matter. I mean, it was mine. But just let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Move on. Fitting slide here. The level of your maturity, I told you we'd get back to this point. The level of your maturity can determine the quality of your view. This would never be you, but have you ever known somebody else that has been a little bit immature, right? And they have poor reactions and poor decisions, and it may maybe not in their whole entire life, but maybe on a certain subject or whatever. And you know, and like you're going, oh, this is just bad. But they're convinced that how they see things is right. And you're just, have you ever gotten a couple years older? Most of you have. Because we're a couple years from where you were, right? Have you ever gotten a couple years older and you're like, you look back in your life at kind of the way you saw things or the way you thought about things, you're like, ooh, okay. Well, I'm glad, right? I'm glad I'm a little bit older and wiser now. I can see that maybe I didn't know it all back then, or maybe I didn't have all the facts, or maybe I wasn't quite understanding everything. Nobody? Has anyone grown in the last? Okay, a couple of you guys. All right. That's what I'm kind of saying. Our level of maturity, even in the natural, helps us to have more quality views of things. Our level of maturity in the spirit gives us access to more quality viewpoints. As we mature, I start to see that this person that is just incessantly, every time I tell a story at work, they've got to tell one better. Every time that, and it just annoys me. You know, John, I'm trying to just have a good work environment. And, you know, I brought someone a sandwich because I wanted to bless them. And this guy had to go and he had to go bring him a pot roast, you know, just because he knew I was bringing a sandwich. And one level of maturity will have one kind of reaction to that. A little more maturity will have, wow, I can't stand that guy, but Jesus says I have to love them. Another level of maturity will step back and say, God, what's really going on here? And through the Spirit or through talking to other people, you know, oh, that guy grew up in a home where his mom and dad were always saying that's never good enough. He's just trying to undo years, man. Sorry, that was just an example, but gosh, I'm crying over a fictional story. Man, I'm just feeling the weight of the Spirit on that. Man, level up, guys. You level up and you go, he's just hurting. Maybe I'll bring him a pot roast, right? And you get to see things differently as you mature. It grants you access to a different view. Staying spiritually immature will limit the revelation that God has for your life. You don't want to stay stuck. You don't want to stay where you're at. Man, love Jesus, but move forward with Jesus. Grow, mature, become more like him. Let the broom grass of Jesus overtake your heart. So that's all that's just lush fields of Jesus grass. Yeah, we'll go with that. I don't know. That was emotional. Sorry. Let's look at just a little section in Corinthians quick. Paul showed up in the church in Corinth. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, my message and my preaching were not, say not. They were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Now, don't get stuck here. Hang on. He's starting with this paragraph. He's saying, when I showed up to see you, God showed up too. We had a move of God. God showed up. I didn't give you any fancy words. I knew Christ and him crucified. I showed up with fear and trembling. And then God showed up and did something incredible in your lives. When I came to you, God came too. And he did the work. Man, God, you remember that? Remember when I came and you guys didn't even know God? And then I showed up and I told you about Jesus. And then God did all this stuff. Demonstration of his power. Wasn't that cool? And we would all say, yeah, that was cool. And then he goes on to the next verse. He says, we do, however, change of direction here. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom, where? Among the mature. Whoa. He's saying, I showed up, God showed up, there was awesome stuff. But he's saying, wait a minute. Like, that move of God is great to kickstart your life in God, transform you. But do you know what you need after that? You need to grow and you need to mature because that's the only place that you access wisdom. As you mature, you get a greater access to wisdom. Paul's saying, I speak a message of wisdom only among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began, and we'll just skip a part of that and skip down to the end. The things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. As we mature, we open our lives up for more revelation from God. As we mature, we start to see. That's what revelation is. New seeing. Revealed. Right? And behind door number 3, right? You're going to go open it up and reveal. You're going to see it. Now, that's what revelation is. And Paul's saying, among the mature, there's greater revelation. How many want more wisdom, more revelation, more insight from God? How many want to see, right? Have you ever had to climb up a tree or get up on a higher hill so that you could see what was going on? Like, I need to see. You know, when you're a little kid, you remember going to the Newsboys. That's one of my favorite memories, going to Lifelight down in Sioux Falls, and the Newsboys were up front, and I threw Aspen on my shoulders and ran up to the front and lovingly elbowed my way through the crowd to give Aspen an almost front row view of the Newsboys. Got up to a higher place and had a whole different experience of what was going on. But we've got to mature to do that. Paul is saying, those of you who are mature, yeah, you'll slide right into this. Those of you who differ in the view, he doesn't call them immature. He just says God will make that clear to you because I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you're going to see this. But you need to level up. You need to mature. You need to grow. Because where your heart is at right now is immature. And where you walk with Jesus is at is too surface for you to understand what I'm trying to say to you. But that's all right. Paul's saying, it's okay. I'm not going to force this. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm going to let God nudge your heart and pull you into his presence and reveal that to you. Does that make sense? Let's look at part two of the Philippians verse. It is this: only let us live up to what we've already attained. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Another version, the Alexandrian Recensent, which is another word for addition, says, according to what we've already attained, let us regulate our life. I like that. According to what we've already attained, let us regulate our life. And then the Amplified version says, only let us hold true to what we've already attained and walk and order our lives by that. So, great question for you today. What are we talking about here? What have we attained? That's a great verse. Woohoo. I'm excited for that. Agree with that. All right. Like, what am I living up to? Help me out, Pastor. Glad you asked that. Attained here, it means a couple different things. It means to come to or arrive at or reach. So there's kind of two different things wrapped up in this one word. It means like achieve, you know, what we've already achieved, what we've accomplished. So achieve and accomplish, it means that. And it also means got to. Like, I've attained the podium. I've attained the front row. You know what I mean? When we're going to Brookings later today, we'll attain Watertown, and then we'll attain the Volga exit, and then we'll attain, do you know what I mean? Like, we've got getting to it. So it's wrapped up. Both of those things are in this Greek word. And it means accomplish. Like, I guess you could say we accomplished Brookings. It's not really quite right. We've arrived at Brookings. So it's both of those sentiments. We've arrived at, and also we've accomplished. So kind of wrapped up in this one word. So what have we arrived at and or accomplished? What have we achieved? What have we attained? What have we brought unto ourselves? What is ours now? There's going to be four things in this list. If you're taking notes, leave room for four lines. The first thing that we've attained is the things that have been given to us by God. This list is really, really, really long. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You've been raised up and seated in heavenly places. You've been forgiven. He set his seal of ownership upon you, the Holy Spirit, right? You've been given grace. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's power in your life to live out for God. Like, on and on and on and on we could go and talk about what God has done and given us. You've been given a new future. You've been given hope. You've been given the workings, all of the DNA for love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, compassion, humility, discernment, wisdom, understanding. Are you getting the picture? You've been given a lot of things. So let us live up to what we've attained. Let's live up to this. Let's walk in what you've been given. Second thing, what have we attained? Our personal victories and achievements. You've struggled to whatever, quit smoking or cut the addiction of pornography or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, fill in the blank, you know. Stop being a liar, whatever it is. You've got this new identity now. You've struggled with these things. And bit by bit, Jesus has broken them off of your life. The brome grass of Jesus is filling your heart. It's taking over more territory. And you've gotten victories in these areas of your life. You've accomplished things, right? You've achieved them by the power of God, by the grace of God, but by agreeing with him. And Paul is saying, some of these areas of your life, you've seen victory, but maybe we've slid backwards in some of those areas. Maybe we're not, we've achieved this, but now we're living down here a little bit, right? Like, we've broken through, right? So Paul is saying, live up to what you've attained. Live up to that freedom. Live up to those victories. Live up to what God is doing in your life. The third thing, it's an interesting one. What those before us have wept for, interceded for, planted for. How many of you would just sit here for a second and be like, yeah, Dwight, Frida, whatever. Yeah, they were good people, whatever, but, you know, we're going to do our thing. And they sowed. They wept. They witnessed. They prayed. They gave, you know, right? I mean, we could put 100 people in that category. Those that have gone before you personally in your own life, in our church, in our community, those that have sown, those that have paid the price for us to stand where we're standing now. Live up to that, Paul's saying. You've been given, you've arrived at that because they paid the price for that. They tilled the ground, you know, Jim and Kathy, the first 5 years. You know, Marnie and I stepped in to what they had worked. You know, some of you don't even know, this is Marnie's mom and dad, and they were the worship pastors here for the first 5 years of our church, and they struggled. And it was a long time ago. Maybe you don't remember. He's just smiling now. Just happy memories. You know, just plowing ground when you're establishing something, that's difficult. And so Marnie and I got to step into what they had built and stand on that. Far be it from us to just try to dismantle that and do our own. Like, no, we want to build on that. If someone's gone before you and sacrificed, think about our family. You know, think about the curses that have been broken off of, you know, we're just getting really personal today. We're just going to this is the Snaza family personal business today, but just think about the curses and the garbage that have been on our family, and now they're getting broken off. And we want to see our kids now start out as the first generation of walking in holiness and purity and not having to overcome the junk that we've had to overcome for generations. Like, I want to honor that. And that's what Paul's saying. Live up to what you've been given. Live up to what those before you have given and sacrificed for you. Whether it's intercession, whether it's whatever it is, that someone's paved the road before you. All right, last one. The established things in your life, like relationships. And it's kind of a little, just wrap your mind around this. Like kingdom practices and habits, like Bible reading. Like you forged out, man, there was a season in my life, like I every morning I would read like 10 minutes a day before I got in the car. And I, for about like 3 years, I did that, and God showed me so many things. Do you do that now? Man, it was like for 3 years, it was so good. Okay, so what are you doing now? Well, you know, like, I mean, things are busy, but you know, like there was this time in my life that for 3 years, Greg, God would just, like, every, like, it was like me and Jesus every morning for 3 years. Live up to what you've attained. And you attained that. You achieved that. You walked in that. And you're not going to get to heaven anymore because you did that or because you didn't. But live up to that attaining. And maybe it's a different season. Maybe God's got a different way for you to, do you know what I'm saying, though? But you've established things, you know, relationships, you know, that are life-giving. Sometimes we just let them fall. Sometimes some stuff comes between us. Man, let's open the door, open the curtains, air the stuff out, get some forgiveness in there, right? Come on, shampoo that thing and restore these relationships. Like, live up to what we've attained or what we've been given or what you've arrived at. Live up to that. Live up to that. Live up to that. Let's live up to what we've already attained. Let me just give you because so often there's things in our life that get neglected. Anyone ever had stuff in your life that just gets neglected? I didn't mean to, oh man, I should, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. I don't want to make anyone feel guilty. There's 100 things that we should be doing. But they slip, right? Oh yeah, okay, we need to restore that. That's why New Year's resolutions are so popular. We all know it, right? We all know there's 15 things, but let's see. If everyone in the world is making a new resolution, that will give me strength to, no, it won't, actually. But We get excited about that because we know we need to shore up these things. We need to prop up these areas in our life that we've been slipping because we're in America and we're not so very disciplined, are we? So propping up what we've already attained. And I want to just give you a visual, if you just allow me to give you a visual picture of this. Just, are your hearts good this morning? Are we okay? Are we okay? Like, you're okay. Like, no one has anger or bitterness in your heart towards me right now? I mean, you might in a little bit. Just, that's what I'm saying, because I don't want to walk into this next slide, because I want to give you just a picture of kind of what Paul is saying here. Just remember, you love me. Okay? Okay. It's like propping up what we've already achieved, and like, you're going to understand this, right? It's the fourth quarter. The Vikings have the ball. It's 0-29. Vikings are 29 points ahead. There's 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. There's only four quarters in a game. So we've gone through three quarters already. They haven't scored. It's first and 10. That means we've got four downs now to move the ball. And all of us, it's very obvious what the conclusion of this game is going to be. We're going to lose by two touchdowns. We know that. If you've been a Vikings fan for more than 8 minutes, you know that we're two touchdowns behind right now. All right, exactly. Keep the tomatoes back there, please. We know that sometimes the Vikings may have a problem in living up to what they've already attained. They've fought hard. They've grinded it out. They've beat the giant, right? And they've gotten to the last part of the game. And how many times? Oh, no, they scored. Oh, they did it again. Oh, there's an interception. Oh, there's no way we could lose. Oh, no, they got it again.
That's painful.
Isn't that right? It's just like these. Tonight will be different. Because you know what? Because you know what's in this section of scripture? Forgetting things that are behind. Forgetting the past. Pressing on towards the Super Bowl, right? Right? But that's what he's talking about. Not living up to what you've already achieved. They worked, how many times, Jim, have I heard you say, man, you guys work so hard for this. And throws his coffee cup across my room and shatters the vase. And have to pray for his soul. But that's what Paul is saying here. You guys have, you've either come into something or you've gotten something that someone else has paid for, you know, people that have gone before you, or you've achieved personal victories in your life. Like, live up to that. Don't let those things slack. Don't forget about those. Prop those up. Live that out. In the Revelations, we see to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received. See, does that sound familiar? What you've received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Just look at this. In order to shore that up, we need to remember, right? We need to hold fast, and we need to repent. We need to change how we're thinking about things. Whoa. I was thinking that this wasn't important. God, I repent. That part of my life really is important. I really do need to be doing these things so that I'm maturing, right? That's the first part of this verse. So that we can grow, so that we can get the revelation that God has for us. So that the wisdom of God that you need for your life tomorrow can be in your heart and life today. We need to mature because God's got more. And guess what? I don't mean to scare anybody, but so does the devil. The devil has not exhausted all that he has for you. That's a depressing thought. But neither has the Lord. And his power is greater. Not a little bit greater, much greater. That's why Paul is so adamant about this. Guys, live up to what? Come on, don't slack off. Stop the church on Sunday and dumb the rest of the week. Just live up to this. Come on, Vikings. You got this. Right? Don't let your guard down. man, you are doing so good. Let's keep doing so good, because there's more revelation for more victories tomorrow. There's more wisdom for the mature. Come on, stop fretting about the guy that's bringing the pot roast to work. Don't get caught in low thinking. Come on, level up, mature, grow in Christ. I got some brome grass seed here. Do you need some, right? Let the word of God get in our hearts and just start edging out all that world junk. Couple quotes, we'll finish up here. He who employs what he has prepares himself for further gifts. That's what Paul's saying. Come on, you've already been given this. Walk that out, and guess what God's going to have for you tomorrow? Even more. Blessings of God. Robert Jameson says, the expectation of a new revelation is not to make you less careful in walking according to whatever degree of knowledge of divine things and perfection you've already attained. God makes further revelations to those who walk up to the revelations they already have. I love how he says that. It's a little older English, but live up to what you've already attained. That's what he's saying. Walk up to the revelations that they already have. Talking about walk up. Our lives, remember we talked about this just in Philippians a little bit earlier. There's a high calling. There's an upward call. There's Paul saying, I press on for the upward call, the heavenly calling. There's an upward calling, but downward is your default setting. Mm-hmm. Anyone ever had to reinflate your tires or the airbed that you slept on a couple weeks ago? Probably isn't as firm as it was, right? That's the default setting. Right? Paul is saying, come on, live up, walk up to this. It's the default setting. But upward happens when we walk in agreement with God's word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. I got two questions for you and we're done. Two questions. Do you got that left in you today? It doesn't matter. I'm going to force you. No, I can't. I really can't. So I'm going to ask, please, hang with me. Two questions. Is there areas in your life that a lack of spiritual maturity is limiting your perspective? Come on. We need some new eyes, but we can't get a new sight. I can't see this problem differently because I'm too stuck in little me. Paul's saying, walk up, live up, mature, get God's heart for this. Grow, grow. Second question, last one today. What areas of your life need to be shored up or propped up in order to maintain what you've already attained in the Lord? What's the Holy Spirit nudging in your life right now? Hey, come on, man. That's something we say to Callie all the time. Come on, man. What's the Holy Spirit saying? Come on, man. In that loving, yet, oh, you're so right. That kind of way that the Holy Spirit pokes at things. And what's the Holy Spirit poking on this morning for you? That, man, you had victory in this area. You were doing this. You've been given this. You know that you're this according to what Jesus has paid for you. Are you walking in that? Doesn't look like it. The Holy Spirit would say, yeah, I don't think so. But he'll empower you to walk up. Walk up. Walk up. Not deflated, not immature, but maturing and leveling up, growing, maturing, pressing forward. That makes sense? I hope that all of our hearts are a little bit uncomfortable right now. I hope the Holy Spirit is just nudging on these, because there's so much good. God's not on a power trip. He doesn't need to belittle you for himself to feel good. Stop viewing God as you view your earthly relationships. If God's ever put a finger on something, and I hope he does every single time you're here, if God's ever poking on your heart and saying, man, that needs to change, he's not doing it to prove that he knows more than he's God. He's the king of the universe. Thank him for that. Whoa, thanks for giving me a responsive heart to hear you nudge. I want to listen to that. I don't want that. Because there's so, he's like, ah, oh, man, you're just all stuck on why you didn't get a popsicle, but you have to put down the popsicle so we can go to Disneyland. You know, or wherever, or I don't know, can't think of anything else, a bike rally, whatever. You know, like we're stuck on these small things, and God's like, mature, get a new view, because there's so much greater that I have for you. Amen? Thanks for hanging with me. That was a dump truck full of stuff, and you guys did well. And I'm just praying for our hearts today that we're going to level up, walk up, mature and grow. Amen? God, I just bless these people today. Lord, I thank you for responsive hearts that are excited to grow in you and that you're going to give us new vision, God, as we mature, as we say yes to putting childish things behind us and growing up in you, Jesus, that you're going to give us a brand new way of seeing things. And it's going to melt our heart with your love, God. You're going to give us new opportunities to walk this out in Jesus' name. Amen.